Today's daf is daf nun hei. Yesterday we raised the issue about the case in the Mishnah that said that a Nazir is exposed to Eretz Ha'amim, although he becomes Tamei, it's not Megaleach, doesn't lose the days, and so on and so forth. And we were wondering yesterday what the halacha is of Tumat Eretz Ha'amim. Is that a halacha that is essentially made in order to prevent people from going to Chutz La'aretz? And therefore it's a halacha in exposure to Chutz La'aretz. But there's nothing to do really. It works as a tuna, in the sense that if you're exposed to Chutz La'aretz, you become Tamei. But it doesn't technically work as a tuma. Now, it's not a tuma of Ohel, Maga, things like that. It's the Avir itself. Same way we use the lotion of the atmosphere almost, is the lotion of Avir. So it's the milieu of Chutz La'aretz, the Avir, that's Mitzavei. And not the technicalities. You wouldn't be able to protect from it. You can't say, since I'm in an OL, so therefore I'm not being exposed to it. You're exposed to it. That's where you are. Or is it a din in what's known as gush? Gush means that, technically speaking, it functions as if we have a chashash of an actual dead body underneath you. And this would either be because of Meitei Mabul, or because of the way that so many Jews have been murdered, the way many people feel about walking through Europe. Wherever you go, you're walking on Jewish blood, there's that sense. And so Memela, they were Geyser Tuma. The truth is that these are two different mechanisms. It may well be that the elements of both are taken into consideration. Even if the Gezerah is because of Gush, it could be they wouldn't have been Geyser because of Gush, except to avoid the elements of Chutz La'aretz, which are taken into consideration in Avir. Okay, but that's theory. In terms of the actuality of the practical halacha, there would be two different approaches. We view it as a real din of tuma, which is gush-oriented, then it's protectable by having yourself in an ohel. So that would be a no space, so to speak, vis-a-vis the tuma. Or you're not able to protect yourself because it's a din in avir. We didn't have yesterday a clear raya because we said, look, from the Mishnah, that talks about Hazoya, Shlishi Vishmi, we can't be certain that the reference is to the din of Chutz La'aretz, because there were other dinim that clearly did not require Shlishi Vishmi. So how do we know that this was one of those that did require Shlishi Vishmi, and therefore would function because of the dinim of Tuma? So Memela, we were left with a question. Today the Gemara begins on Daf Nun Hei, at the very top, with the thought that it may be that the very issue that we raised yesterday as a question is itself a machloket tana'im. Lema ketanoi. Haniknas la'eretz ha'amim. Mishidate va'umigda. So here we have a case where somebody basically helicopters in to Eretz Ha'amim, or is carried in a palanquin or in a box of some kind. So there, Rebbe is mitame, and Rebbe Yehuda mitaher. Now, what would that machlokas be? What is unique about helicoptering in to Chutz La'aretz as opposed to walking into Chutz La'aretz? L'chora, there's only one difference. And that is, my love, Rebbe Savar Mishum Avira. Rebbe holds it's Tamei. He holds that the issue is the exposure to Chutz La'aretz, not the exposure to a putative tuma in the land of Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, you're not going to save anything by being inside of a helicopter. Mashenkin Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Savar Mishum Gusha. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Savar, that the idea over here is exposure to tuma, putative tuma that's in the very ground of Chutz La'aretz. By the way, we saw in other places of the Satnagaya, our Sugya, that the issue of Gush is also the question of exposure if you bring in Chutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael. That would be another issue. The dirt itself is the dirt itself a problem of Tuma, and that part of this Gezerah had to do with being Garam Tuma for Paris and Eretz Yisrael. If you import Paris, if a shash of not importing Paris of Chutz La'aretz, that we've had in other Mesechtas in a completely different context. But here, Lagavi Naziris, that's not what we're focusing on. But it would appear that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's Mitayer holds that the mode of the Tuma is Dafka through the consistent dinim of Tuma, which is that you would be exposed to a beam of Tuma, which you can, now if you're inside of a helicopter, the bottom of the helicopter protects you from that Tuma. So the Chora, that would be okay.
It would be a river on the open sea.
We're going to talk about the sea a little bit later. So that seems to be the machlokas. So that's the answer to your question. The answer to your question about whether it's a mishum gush, mishum avir, is that it's a machlokas rebbe, rebbe yosef, rebbe yoda. It says, absolutely not. There's another simple way to explain the machlokas, where we could say, look, v'kulei ama mishum gusha, everybody agrees that it actually functions as normal tumah. So why in the world would Rebbe be mitami if you're in a helicopter? Why is the helicopter not a ohel to protect you from the tumah underneath? That's because, by the way, a helicopter is not so posh. I must tell you. Because one of the issues over here is that the only things that serve as an ohel to protect you from tumah are things which themselves are not conductors of tumah. So the cases of Shida Teva Umigdal, where presumably we're talking about things that are made out of wood, you know, I mean, it's true that Howard Hughes designed the spruce, you know, it was all made of wood in order to protect Karnim. The spruce goose, that was only in order to protect Karnim from tumah. That was his idea. But the reason that he did that was because wood, even though wood is a conductor of tumah, in if it's a kli, that's only up to a certain size. But if it's not metaltel, mole verekos, it's not 40, sorry, it's more than that, then you usually don't carry it. And since the spruce goose couldn't fly anyway very much, so the mela, it wouldn't, it would be impervious to tumah, so it could protect the carnivore. A helicopter, on the other hand, presumably is made of metal, wouldn't be much good because the tumah beam would penetrate it anyway because it's not a good oil. However, using all those other materials of soundproofing and all these other things, that might work, right? You know, you got plastics, things like that.
What about this carbon?
There you go. Richie will work it out. I mean, you know, poor Howard. He didn't have all of these, you know, these fantastic Buckminster Fuller carbon particles and so on. You know, we're way ahead of it. But anyway, but whatever the case is, just keep in mind that we're talking about an oh that can protect you from tumah with whatever that requires, certain size, certain material. Okay. So says the Gemara at this point that actually it could be that everybody holds that we do follow the normal rules of tumah, and the reason that Rebbe holds, despite the fact that you're inside your special helicopter, you still become tameh. The reason is because flying ohalim don't count to protect you from tumah. And that's called an ohal zaruk, lav shmei ohal. Since helicopters fly, therefore if you are suspended in the air, that's not considered to be something that will protect you from tumah. Or for that matter, if you're in a palanquin, you're being carried over something, that's not considered to be a valid ohal. What is a palanquin? You could see that this boy has not traveled to China or to India. Or, huh? It's one of those things where you got the guys carrying you and all, you know, it's a little seat and the princess comes by in a palanquin. Oh, please. Oh, my goodness gracious. A wheeled conveyance for a princess. No wheels. It's like carrying the Oren HaBris. You put the Oren into a rickshaw. Please. Seriously, it's exactly the dilemma. That's what the Torah was managed for. You don't put the Oren into a... Okay, in any event, says the Gemara, that may well be the machlokas and everything. And by the way, this is a well-known machlokas. I mean, we find many shittas about old Zoruk. Okay, I mean, we don't know at this point the machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, but maybe that's the machlokas. That Mar Savar, Ohel Zoruk Shumei Ohel, since it's an Ohel, therefore it will keep you from the tumah, and that's Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, Svar. Umar Savar, Ohel Zoruk, Lav Shumei Ohel, and therefore, says Rebbe, it's not considered to be a valid Ohel, since it's moving. In movement, it's not considered to be that which the Torah calls an Ohel B'chlal. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, but that doesn't work out at all. Because on the contrary, if what you're saying now is that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda would be the one who held that it's considered to be tahor because an oil zorik is considered to be an oil, and yet it says beferish, and here you're in big trouble because we found now data in which Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda actually holds exactly the opposite of what you claim, and that an oil zorik is not considered to be an oil, and therefore he ought to be the one who's metame, not the one who's metaya. So you can forget about that approach. V'atani, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer, tevashi meleya kelim. You have a box that's full of dishes. V'zorka al pnei ha-meit, you throw it now over a meit. So in that case, the din would be that it is temeya. So if it's temeya, the word ba'ol doesn't make any sense. In the many svarim, it takes out the word ba'ol. Temeya, no, it's temeya. That would be an oil, right? So, okay, Shaila, how exactly to read it? A lot of discussion, achreinish discussion about whether how to fit in the word ba'al. But the parsha says we're talking about this is the tumas ha'al. You're going over the face of the mace, and since it's traveling, so therefore it doesn't protect the kelim in the kelim topic. V'imaita munachat. On the other hand, if there is a mace with a box over the mace, you put kelim into the box, then the box will protect the kelim. Why? Because now it's munachat al haaret. So what is he telling you? Oh, zorik lav shmeyon. Isn't that that's the whole point of his discussion? You're trying to tell me that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's matir because oh zorik ishmeyon. I mean, come on. So obviously, this cannot be the approach to the machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, we can go back to the original machlokas about whether Eretz Ahami is, the way we want it to say, is mitam gusha or mitam avira. Ah, you'll say, but I don't understand. So according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, what are you telling me? That it's mishum gusha, and therefore he's in an oil, and he's not tameh. But he's not in an oil, because Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda holds that it doesn't help to be in an oil that's traveling. So now you're really stuck. Both pshatim don't work. Not true. Because what I could say is that the original approach is correct. And when it says that you were nichnas in a shida teva umigdal, what it means is that there was a shida teva umigdal standing still at the edge of the border to Chutz La'aretz, which allowed you basically to enter Chutz La'aretz without getting tameh, by entering through a door that's in Eretz Yisrael, going inside the way you would into an an underwater observatory. You walk into an underwater, you want to see what it looks like, you know, so you go into this underwater observatory that protects you against the tumah of Chutz La'aretz, because you're in an oil, and now you can actually explore what it looks like over there on this other planet. And you're still not going to become Tomei because you're protected by your spaceship. But it's only because your spaceship is standing still. The moment it would start to move, you would indeed become Tomei. So that could be. Possibly. So then we'd be...
Unless it was a wooden spaceship.
No, only because it's a wooden spaceship that's so big that it can't really move. Yeah. Well, I'm saying they have these composite material problems. I mean, yeah, that was your suggestion for Howard. You won't be able to talk to him because you haven't been completely sterilized. Sorry?
Why would moving make it worse?
Why would moving make it a non-OL, you're saying? Or moving that he just spoke about? Because the Torah compares it to Sak. So sak is metalta malivareka, then it's mekabel tuma. So that means that there's a new openness to Kabbalah's tuma on something which is movable. It's already okay. I mean, that's not exactly the idea of by Oral Zorak. He was talking about the question of the material. The material has to be impermeable to tuma, but Eitz is permeable to tuma unless it's not movable. That's the point. Whether there's any relationship between the Zorak to that movable is not as unproven. Because there the din of oil could simply be in terms of, well, what is the Torah referring to when it's saying something that is an oil is a space. If it's moving, I mean, so then it's not a particular space, you know. It's a different question, perhaps. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvarom. We're going to get to the trains. That's the next case. We talk about trains, airplanes, boats. I mean, we got to get it. We'll be getting there. Okay. So this is the, apparently, your right, your correct approach was the first approach. Says the Gemara, no. Actually, Ella, you know, here, let me try this approach. I would say, let's take just the opposite. Kulei alma mishum avira. Actually, maybe everybody agrees, Rebbe and Rebbe Yezer, Rebbe Yehuda, is that you would be tomei because of the avir. So you'll say, so then if you're in the Shita Teva Migdal, avir, no matter what you hold, whether the Shita Teva Migdal is stationary or whether it's moving, is irrelevant. Since you're exposed to the avir, why aren't you tomei? I'll tell you why. Because this is an unusual way to travel. How many people do you know that travel inside of a closet that somebody is carrying, unless they're trying to escape the taxes, people? I mean, but, you know, normally, it's not exactly what's done. Strange way to act. Yeah. You remember the old case of the guy who was heard the mashgiach coming down the hall? It's an absolutely classic case. This mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, David Kronweiss was his name. And he was a mirror, an old-fashioned mirror, just come from Europe, basically. Barely spoke English. Nobody thought that he knew anything about American culture. B'chlal. Anyway, but he would come every once in a while. He himself would come to the dorm and catch people in bed in the middle of davening, which was a disaster. I mean, just to be looked at by this guy. Frightening. Anyway, so what happens is, somebody hears that he's coming, and he decides, okay, he'll jump into the closet before he comes.
And when people hear he's coming, people jump out of the windows.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, they were pretty terrified. Yeah. I mean, there were fire escapes. That is it. Fine. This guy decides he's going to play it smart, and he hides in the closet. So, but Reb David was too good for him. He opened the closet door and says to him in Yiddish, "Was tust du? What are you doing in the closet?" Which the guy responded, "Waiting for a trolley." Isn't it obvious? But another time, as far as American culture is concerned, another time he actually caught the guy who was running down the hall screaming, "Reb David is coming!" No, it was brilliant. And the guy comes around the corner and there he is. Oh my God, disaster. So he says to him, this is beautiful, this is the nicest thing he ever said. He says to him, "Wer bist du? Paul Revere?" That's great. Who would think he knew Paul Revere? That's great. You have to know the guy to really appreciate how absolutely insane that is. But in any event, a guy who travels in a closet is a little unusual. And therefore, we have a general rule. The Chachamim don't make a gezerah for unusual cases. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, that's the point. There's nothing to do with Tumas Oil. It has to do with Shchicha. And this is not Shchicha, and therefore you're taught. And you know what? I know that sounds a little bit far-fetched. However, I want to prove it to you. But that's the machlokas. Rebbe, of course, would be just saying they made a single gezerah. Marsav, I forgot the lo shchicha gozber abonu. You don't start making distinctions of particularly what it is you're traveling in. They said there's a din of avir, there's a din of avir. We're going to start analyzing. Well, certainly not for me because I came in a box. I mean, come on. And I'll prove it to you. V'atanya, indeed it says that hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shidat teva u'migdal tohor. So if you come in, essentially, a box or a closet, you're tahor. But if you come in bikaron, if you come in a train, or a ship, a svina, or an iskaria, or an airplane, In these cases, actually, this guy is a schooner. So you would be tamei. Now, what possible difference is there? Can you tell me between these things? Technically speaking, they're exactly the same. They're made out of the same materials. There's only one difference. One is a normal way to travel, and one is not a normal way to travel. That's all. So it's obvious that this represents the sheet of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and that indeed there's a difference in shlicha or not shlicha, and that proves my contention that this may well be the machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi. I mean, it definitely proves my contention to such a shita. I want to apply it to the machlokas of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, in which case it would be irrelevant to our shaila, because it may well be that everybody is made that it's a din in avir. Or I could try it in the other direction. I could try it that actually it's the other way. Vibaitema, maybe the din is actually a halacha of gush. Okay? And then what would be the machlokas? Hacha shema yotziro shavuru bolasham pligi. Maybe the shaila would be about whether we're worried of your being exposed to any kind of tumah. Maybe that would be the difference. So in other words, if you're in a kind of thing, you're in a sealed box. So over there, what's the problem? That you're should be tahar because you're protected? No, you're not tahar. Because we make a gezerah. Maybe, since in normal cases you would stick your head out, so then we make gzera, we're afraid that you're going to stick your head out. In this case, you won't stick. Okay, but maybe that's exactly the case. In other words, the difference between a shita tevel migdal or a schooner or a train could be a different difference. Not whether it's normal, but rather whether there's a chashash that you'll stick your head or your hand out of the windows. If there's a chashash of being exposed to tuna, so we make a gezeira even if you weren't exposed to tumah. If you're traveling in a box, so over there, how are you going to get your hand out of the window? There's no window. What are you going to do? You're going to push the top open and hang over. That's not reasonable to be chayshish. You're going to open the door of the closet while you're teetering around. It's also not reasonable. So mamela, we're not chayish for those particular cases. Sorry? Well, it's not Rosho Orubo. It's not. It's just a general lashon. Huh? Rosho Orubo. But it's really. I mean, it's Vatani here. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Anichus, Eretzam, Shira, Tev, Amigo, Tor, Ad Shesila, Sham, Rosho Orubo. It's lav dafta. So, in other words, if there's an exposure, but Etzim, Eretzam, fine. But otherwise, we're not going to be guys. Okay. So this would be completely a different machlokas, not stam in whether it's normal, but in whether we make a gezera because of this chashash. Fine. I must tell you that there's another approach to this whole sugya, which introduces a completely new issue. And that is whether Ohel Zaruk is called Ohel Zaruk if it's in contact with the ground at any point. And that's the issue. In other words, the difference between a helicopter and a train. That would be the question. So what the Gemara, this is Rabbeinu Hanano's approach. In the initial question that the Gemara had, we wanted to say that this would be a case of Ohel Zaruk, perhaps. And then we asked the question to show that that's the only time we would say there's a problem of Ohel Zaruk, is where it's actually being thrown over something. But if it's not thrown over something, if it's munach, meaning how is it munach? By somebody carrying it. So that a person's foot, somebody's always munach. The thing isn't munach, it's being carried. That's not called ol zaruk. According to that, the first vatanya wasn't a question. It was a raya, that there's a difference. Difference between whether it's literally in the air, flying through the air, which is Zoruk literally, or whether it's actually Munach, meaning that not that it's standing still, but that somebody is carrying it. And not that it's traveling under its own power or that it's been shot, you know, over the ground.
Like the railroad
car. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think they
All you need to do is throw it. That's the case that we brought in the Brisa. You took something that was full of kelim, you threw it over the mate. No, the case was over the mate. Yeah, that was the case in the Brisa. So according to that approach in Rabbeinu Chananel, we're bringing a raya that's true. There is indeed a nafkamina between an ola zaruk, and which is being carried, and an ola zaruk, which is being literally thrown. And that's what we're saying, and Rabbi Yossi indeed holds like that. You see? Rabbi Yossi says, munachat, meaning not that it's standing still, obviously. But why do we have to talk about that? Munachat, meaning where it's still on the ground and not thrown. So that's considered to be an ola zaruk that is keeps you from Tahira. According to that, we weren't asking a question. We were offering an alternative. And we brought a riot to the alternative, which is a very, very, very different approach, but very, very beautiful possibilities. So this is Rabbeinu Chananel, and some of the other Balei HaTosfos actually read it like that. Continues the Gemara, the Mishnah. Umatchil umonemiyad. Okay, so what do we have? We have, basically, as we said, so far we think we have three situations. A situation in which the original days collapse, and you have to start all over again. That would be the cases in the first mission, where there's a tiglachat anazir because of tumah. There's a tiglachat, there's korbanos, and there's also a yamim or ishanim yiplu. Then we have a case, the opposite extreme, which is at the end of the Mishnah, where somebody was a zav, or a mitzvah, or a muzgar. In those cases, the days actually count towards the end of the Nazirut, because there is no Giluach there at all, and there's nothing to discuss. Then we had the middle case, in which the days don't count towards, but neither do they cancel the days that were there before. So those are the cases that we had of the, where the, there's a Tzaras, or there's a din of Hazoya Shlishi Vishvi, but there's no halacha that the Nazir is Megaleach, Aleihem, he may be Megaleach for his Tzaras. And in that case, we said, look, the first days don't fall, but the days in which he's tamei don't count. Those were the three situations that we had in the Mishnah. Comes along now Rav Chisda and muddies the water. Rav Chisda says like this, when do we say this halacha that the first days, that the days that you have don't count in the event that there was a Giluah? Lo shna le benizirut mu'etet. It's not so posh just because the guy was a mitzera and ends up with a tiglachas for his tzarat that therefore he's going to lose those days. He's not going to lose those days. The only time he would lose those days is if he had an azirut mu'etet. But if anyway he was going to keep a lot of days afterwards, so then they would count towards the days that he keeps, because there's no problem. He's got enough days anyway for him to regrow his hair. So why would there be a problem now of not counting those days, right? So, to which Reb Sharbia asks from the Mishnah, how do you fit that into the Mishnah? Let me ask you something. The Mishnah says that after he becomes Tahar, matchil umone miyad. Now, the Mishnah doesn't exactly say that Lashon, because it doesn't say it in that order. But Mishnah points out, what's the difference what order it says it? I mean, the point is, the Mishnah made, it's not Mevatel the Kodmim, right? But Matchil Umone Miyad. Now, Bemai, okay, what are we talking about? Does it say Matchil Umone? What does Matchil Umone mean? Just tell me what those words mean. Matchil Umone means you have to start counting now. But you weren't counting, no, not anew, but you weren't counting. In other words, you didn't lose the first days, that's true. But you have to start counting now, meaning start counting the remaining days now, and you can't count the days during which you were tummy. Now, you claim, Rav Chisda, that that's not really true if we're talking about a nazirut beruba. Excuse me now. Explain those words, okay? Bemai. Just tell me what we're talking about. What are we talking about? You're telling me that the Yamimai Kod Arishonim count towards what? Count towards what? They don't count at all. Because the bottom line is, you're saying it's a Nezirut Mu'eta. The total Nezirut is 30 days. I don't care how many days you counted. You counted one day. No? You're going to be able to keep that first day before you became a Mitzrayim. How are you going to be able to keep that day? You need Gidul Seyar, don't you? If you need Gidul Seyar takes 30 days. So if you're talking about a Nezirut Mu'etet, so why are you telling me you can count the first day? It won't make any difference to you to count it. You're going to need to keep 30 days anyway. So it can't be talking about that case. Ilem ben Nezirut Mu'etet, Kaboy Gidul Seyar. You need to have a growth, a full growth of 30 days of hair, and therefore all of your first days are not going to help you. You could talk about, but they counted. They counted towards what? They didn't count towards you not having to keep them again, because you're going to keep them anyway. So forget about it. It's all theory. For all intents and purposes, they didn't count. You might as well not have kept them. So that can't be what it's talking about. So where then does the Mishnah say, Matchilu monemia benazirus meruba? Not like you said. That means that even in a Zirut Merubah, where you have the Yamim HaRishonim, you do have the Yamim HaRishonim, but that doesn't mean you can count the additional days during which you were Tameh as a Mitzrayim. So you see that you're wrong?
From the Lashon.
From the Lashon of Mishnah. What's the other case? Says Rav Chista. There's a whole other set of cases that you're not taking into consideration.
Push back. No, don't do that.
What's the third set of cases? It's very simple. You could have a case where the first days count, and where nonetheless you need to start counting again, but it's not a stira to the middle days counting in other circumstances. What would that be? Very simple. Imagine a case in which the number of days remaining that you had was less than 30, right? Or not more than 37, let's say, whatever the case was of the how many days of Tumah you had. So let's think like this. A guy made a Nezirut for 50 days, for instance, okay? The Yamim HaRishonim, he keeps 20 days. He now has 30 days left, right? So now, matchilomone, is that true? Yes. In this case, it's matchilomone, because he's still going to need those 30 days. Did he get to keep his first 20 days? Absolutely. He got to keep his first 20 days. So that means the Yamim HaRishonim 20 days are not Yiplu. Nonetheless, it's still true, matchilomone, because he can't count it since he needs Gidul Seyar. But how about, and that's what I'm talking, I'm not talking about the original Nazirah, says Rabbi Chista, I'm talking about the days that are left. Is that a Nazirah Mu'etis? That's what I'm talking about. But if you've got, besides those days, let's say you've got another 40 days left. So now anyway your hair is going to grow back for 30 days in 40 days. So you don't need the whole 40 days. Then you can count the 7 days that you were Tameh, towards those 40 days anyway. So you'll only have to keep 33 days. So then the days will actually count. Because there's nothing innate about those days that says that the zeros doesn't count there. It's just the problem was you're going to have to regrow your hair, but in this case you're going to have hair regrown. Ah! So now we have basically three cases. We have a case where Lamaisa, you're going to lose your first days, but only because the total was 30 days, and anyway you're going to keep 30 days to grow your hair. We have a case where you're going to keep your first days, but you're still not going to be able to count the middle days because you need another 30 days. Then we have a case where not only you get to keep the first days, but you can even count towards the sum total of the Naziris, the middle days, because you have plenty of days left in which you would regrow your hair anyway. And therefore, you don't need to be matchil or mina in that case. So that's the case we're talking about over here. And this, indeed, is a great case. That was Reb Eliezer, who learned it out from the Zeris of Tyre. Remember? Yeah. Okay, but that wouldn't apply here. So El Olav, let's see that inside. El Olav in the Zirut Merubah. Ukatani matchil umone miyad. So what are you going to do with that? He asked Rav Chista, and he himself answered. Humotiv lavu mefarekla. He asked the Kashan Rav Chista, and as he asked it, realized, there's a simple out. What's the simple out? For instance, Benazirut bat chamishim yom. Now, this is not the only case, right? The formula would be that your original days still left you 30 days at the end. So you could have said the Naziris of 40 days of which you kept 10. And the Naziris of 50 days of which you kept 20. And the Naziris of 60 days of which you kept 30. Whatever. I'm saying that. We're taking an example here. We're not saying this is the case. So the case would be, for instance, if you had a Nazirut bat chamishim yom, where you already kept 20 of them, okay, and now it yalid beit sarat, so now on the 21st day you got sarat, so you can't count the 21st day. So then after that period, you're megaleh sarato, and after the giluach, you're still going to be matchil umoneh, v'hada yativ tlat in yom and the nazir. There, ha'itle gidol se'ar, what's saying over here, so on this type of nezirut mu'etet, there, don't, you can't ask the question of, what do you mean, a nezirut mu'etet, ha'be'ina gidol se'ar. You have gidol se'ar. So now, above and beyond that, that's where he's saying there's always a day that you could count from the yamei tumah anyway. Because for anything beyond the remaining time of a nezirut mu'etet, which is 30 days, here, obviously, the Nizirut per se was not Nizirut Mu'etet. I thought it was a Nizirut of 50 days. Or maybe it was a Nizirut of 60 days, or whatever. But what was left was a Nizirut Mu'etet. So there, Rav Chisda says, look, if it's a Nizirut Mu'etet, then you're right. Because anyway, you got to wait 30 days to cut your hair. But if it's what's left is longer than a Nizirut Mu'etet, so then you only have to wait 30 of those days towards your hair. So why keep more than that? You have the additional days of your tuba that would count towards it. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what is meant over here, ha'it le'gidul se'er. Obviously, what that means is that on this type of nezirut mu'etet, where you're left with 30 days, so now it's a given you have gidul se'er. Anything above and beyond that isn't necessary for gidul se'er. And there, you could count the middle days, and certainly the opening days count, that's for sure. And that's what Chisda was saying, which actually makes a great deal of sense. So let's just see inside. Benazirut bat chamishim yom, the yati vesrim. He kept 20 days. It yalda beit sarat, and now he's megaleach sarato. V'hada yati tlat in yom and nazir. He now has kept now an additional 30 days. There indeed matchil moned. Ha'it le'gidul se'ar. In this kind of case, he would have gidul se'ar those 30 days. Anything above and beyond that, we could count the.
Oh.
Dafka, this is the day that we had to use the omnidirectional mic, right?
To you, I don't get this. How's it going to help? Unless it's...
No, it's got these little. Yeah, it's gonna get it. End up picking up everybody.
And he's not mafia.
We'll see. We'll test it. You know.
In this case, he's not mafia.
In this case, that's called matzio. Because he can't count the middle days, because he still needs this. But above and beyond that, it never would have said matzio. Said Rav Chisda. If there were more than 30 days left, that's a Naziris Merubah.
He becomes after 20 days, Nagid.
Whatever it is, leaving 30 days after the end of the Tzara. Right. But if it's more than 30 days, then he doesn't need to be Matchil, because he can count the days continually. Right? So the word Matchil, says Rav Chisda, there's always an application for the word Matchil, because we want to make it very clear. There could be a case where the Yamim HaKodmim do not disappear. You still need to keep the number of days afterwards. On that I say Matchil Moneh. But that's only where the days that were left of your Nezirut were the Nezirut Mu'etet. If the days that's left are more than Nezirut Mu'etet, according to the number of days, let's say it's 31 days left, you'll only have to keep 30. So you'll say, what do you mean? Didn't I say 51 days? Sure. But you can keep the day that you were tameh towards your 51 days. But don't I need to grow my hair? You did grow your hair. Isle Gidol's hair. You did grow your hair. And if it was for 52 days, you can keep 2 days in the tomb. And if it was for 57 days, great. So now I didn't lose anything. Even the days that I was tameh counted entirely towards my Nazirut. That's what Christ is saying. And indeed, that makes a great deal of sense. So we actually have three sets in which we can determine the differences between nefila, keeping but needing to be matzumiyad, and non-nefila, and not even needing to be matzil over again, because we use the number of days towards, depending on how many days. Sometimes we could use all of it, sometimes we use some of it. And that's brilliant. And then it would become the equivalent of the Zav. And the Zav, we're over there, I never have to worry because I don't need the Gidol Seir. So what's the problem? Now he's going to still need a whole 30.
Only 30.
Only 30. He'll need a whole 30 afterwards. Always a minimal of 30, because that's how long it takes for you to regrow your hair. Lema ketzanoi. Hamiknas le'eretz ha'amim. B'shidat teva'u mikdal. Rebbe betamei v'Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda mitaher. So my love. Rebbe savar mishum avira. V'Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda savar mishum gusha. Lo. The kuli alma mishum gusha. Mar savar ol zaruk shmeyol. Mar savar lav shmeyol. How could you say that? Or, and I'll bring you a proof. Alibi the Rabbeinu Hanano. V'atanya. Or, v'atanya. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Amir Teva Hashim Malaya Kelim Nizarka Pnei Amed Bo Oel Tamei Avi Maita Munach HaTorah. Okay, we wouldn't say Ella here. I could give you another chat. Ella the Kulei Amir Mishum Avira. Mar Sav Akiva De Lo Shkicha Lo Gozer Be Rabbana Mar Sav Afagav De Lo Shkicha Gozer Be Rabbana. And I can show you that there is such a consideration. Ve'atanya indeed. Ha'nichnaz l'eretz ha'amim b'shidat teva u'migdal tohor, but b'karonu b'sfino b'iskaria tamei. And the only possible explanation I can come up with right now is that one is shkicha, one isn't shkicha. Or, wait, maybe there is another explanation. Mi bayit ema. The difference between a train and a box is whether there's a likelihood that you're going to be motzi rosh v'ruva l'sham. So, shach Hashem yotzi rosh v'ruva l'sham plige. And indeed, v'atani Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yudah Omer, ha'nichnas l'eretz ha'amim b'shidat teva u'migdal tahor, ad sheyotzi l'sham rosho v'ruva. So over there, it's something that is a sealed box. It's unlikely that we have to worry about sticking your head up. U'matchil u'mone, om Rav Kista, then you can even count the days of Tuma. So how could you say he can count it? I mean, he still needs to count 30 days towards his haircut. Elalav, it's got to be talking about a zirut meruba, and nonetheless, katani matchilu monem yad, which means that you're starting to count now, and you can't count what was there from before. Now you're going to explain that. Ah, umotiv lav umefarek lav, and a zirut bat chamishim yom, the yativ asrin, vityalda beit sarat. So now, migaleach sarato, and then hada yativ tlatin yom ad nazir. Now, in the tlatin yom in haitle gidol seir. Anything above and beyond that, which would be what I'm referring to when I say nezirut muruba, meaning that you're left with the sheer beyond the nezirut mu'etet, then you can use towards it to pay up from the days that you were tummy, because there your haircut is irrelevant. It's not something magic that there's a days that don't count because you need a haircut. It's just that you need your hair to regrow. And in that case, eat like Gidol Seir.